everyone, and sorry for late start. I was on the YouTube settings because YouTube. I did the private show on YouTube yesterday. It was a great conversation with a new member of our donation platforms. It was a great discussion, and you know, sometimes the members like Faram and James, they take things so specifically. And they bring very specialized subjects that we've been talking about for years, some around evolution and the revolutionary phenotype. But it was great to have a new member who was just bringing the basic talk around the current state of society. Cosmic Nut says, let us know if you reset the whole shebang. No, there's no reset. It's been going well since I bought the Streamlabs multi-stream option. Now, as it turns out, I bought it and I don't use it because I don't stream every day on Twitter. I think Twitter is not ready to be interesting for the audience. But passing through this multi-stream step has actually fixed the audio issue of Odyssey. So clearly, the audio issue of Odyssey is linked to the direct connection with my Streamlabs. And it's fixed by a multi-stream Streamlabs stream. A multi-stream Streamlabs stream. Speaker's Corner says, just watching the Furentes stream from yesterday, and he got very excited when a super chatter told him that you expose Destiny for being Jewish. He didn't remember this moment of internet lore. That is quite surprising, quite amazing. I mean, when you think about it, I was a streamer and Nick Fuentes wasn't very big, you know. I was a streamer and I saw this guy rise alongside of me. And I was kind of a earlier streamer than him. If you go back to my first streams, they were in 2013. I mean, I'm an old man, so somehow I've gone through some episodes of the internet that perhaps Nick Fuentes was still, you know, teething at the boob of his mother, and he may not remember those eras. Worker finds out he no longer has a pension after working 30 years. I don't know exactly what happened. But you can see the frustration here. These guys, they don't know much about their own finances. They are trusting the system. The system makes them work. They show them some pieces of paper that says you have that much accumulated in your pension. And you're really trusting paper, not your key, not your pensions.
Fucking girl, it ain't you. It's these motherfuckers right here.
He says, I've been working 30 years. Now we have to do it all over again. Yes, you've been working for pieces of paper. Not your keys, not your pension. You're right, Dwayne, they say.
So this is what I'll say.
You better tell me how the motherfucking feels. Fuck that shit, man.
So this is what I'll
fuck
say.
Fuck that shit!
Okay. Anytime the government...
Anytime the government
bails out a corporation.
Anytime the government... So you have the boss who... You have the employer... So Dan Simmons says, please translate, JF. You have the employee. Of course, all he's saying, basically, to summarize, he's saying... 30 fucking years, and you're telling me now I have zero in my pension when you were telling me I was accumulating a pension. So that's what he says, and he just keeps rolling. And You're not going to fucking tell me that I'm angry. You're not going to fucking tell me this. And the boss starts his explanation, and we don't get to hear it much, but he says, every time the government starts a corporation, they put money aside. That's what we hear from the boss. So he's about to explain to them that, you know, corporations, ultimately, they are legal creations of the government. They put money aside, but if they pay more than they put aside, then there's no more pensions for you. Oh, God. These old systems, they are built on the assumption of ever-growing populations. So the first attempt of Western civilization was, why don't we bring immigrants in? Like, let's prop up the system by the numbers. Let's create demand. But of course, it never goes really as planned. You bring in immigrants, they don't have the same quality of work and amount of work that would have been deployed by the locals. They don't operate in the same way in the economic sector. They are more dependent eventually on social welfare, and they drain more. That is just the mathematics of parasitism. If you are with a system that handles everything for everyone, you and that tries to be generous in a way, generous through who we give to and equal, you end up having parasitic opportunities for certain lifestyles to drain more from the system than they put in. And that is just what we see. That is why any system maintained by the state is ultimately unsustainable. It is all built on lies, false assumptions, and systems that cannot continue forever. Or we destroy fully ourselves in constantly trying to increase the GDP by bringing in more immigrants. But that comes with its own self-destruction. Aquanote says, immigration without assimilation is just parasitism. Well, the myth of assimilation, it's not even a thing. You're not going to assimilate, by learning the local ways of behaving. That just doesn't happen. I'm sure that if you were to take me and put me in India, there is no point, I may eat a naan bread once in a while, but there's no point in which I'm no more a Quebecois. There's no point in which even my children will significantly have integrated the society. They may have learned the language, they may eat the local cuisine, but they will have all of the genetic and behavioral features of a Quebecois, I can guarantee. So there's no such thing as assimilation. Mass brawls have been breaking out in Helsinki, Finland, among the youth in migrant communities, but is now a common sight in Sweden, England, Netherlands, Portugal, Belgium, France. Again, the signature style of fight. Five or six people punching a single person. And then we're at more and more. Now we are in the kicking moment where it gets to 7, 8, 10 people kicking. All in series, one after the other. And all of this stems from large group trying to attack this person. As a white person who's totally not into this culture, I feel some empathy for being an immigrant. I feel empathy for this guy who was getting punched and the guys who feel like they have to gang up on him. It's so terrible when you think about it. Think about your life is this. Your life is just ganging up with other people and finding if you're more numerous at some point to commit an attack or defend against an attack. It's such crap. You have to maintain social relationships just not to be outnumbered physically. It's like It's like the life of my monkeys, you know. My monkeys, they were spending their days setting up domination hierarchies, alliances, knowing who your friends are, knowing who's going to be a little aggressive when you interact with them. All of this until it would revert into a big revolution or war where one gang of monkeys would fight against the other guy of monkeys, the other gang of monkeys, and whoever is the strongest and the most numerous would win. That is so sad. There's no way you can become great, you can progress in life, you can achieve happiness in this. Your happiness is going to be at all times how many people surround me. So how do you get a normie? That's what I wanted to talk about. You get a normie because of this. You get a normie because the best way to protect against mass violence is to have a lot of friends. But this is not my lifestyle, and it's not the way my line of descent evolved. They have evolved for nuclear families that were in already protected societies where just basically protecting your home was enough to be relatively safe. You didn't have to go out in gangs at night to live. Big Tech Exodus says, I wonder where JF was in this dominance hierarchy in their mind. I was probably the alpha autist. This guy that's writing notes, we don't know where exactly to place him, but he's chill. He's chill. He's bringing us some food once in a while. We need him. We need him. He's a good guy. He's kind of feeding way too many of us. Perhaps I would prefer if he didn't give bananas to the subordinates, but overall, we need him. That's probably how a monkey was looking at me. EMS worker stabbed multiple times by her patient in the back of the ambulance at the Mount Sinai Hospital, New York, I believe. The white female coming to work in town, coming to help populations that cannot be helped, that will not be helped. They will violently respond to help. And so there she is on the floor, and she's yelling because she's afraid that he's headed toward knifing her again. This is what you need for hundreds of years before women go back to the kitchen. And I was telling you guys, don't be so black-pilled about this kind of event. You need this again and again and again and again until all that's left on the streets are men who are headed toward their job, and in fact, they're even trying not to have to get on the street. It is a cycle of civilization. We have women in dangerous situations that are absolutely easy targets for criminals, and they put themselves in tough jobs like policewoman and ambulance person. And it's like, no, you're going to get attacked. You're not going to make it. Because here you are, a woman. Basically, a woman is a display that to a criminal, this person will not fight back. This person doesn't have the muscles to fight back. You're not in a situation of threat. And you can attack her, basically. And until the police arrives on the scene, you're safe. That is what a woman is in a violent society. It's an easy target. Dead Star says, surely some of your ancestors were forced to hold the line with shield and spear at the Battle of Agincourt. Those battles weren't fought just by professional soldiers, but by farmers taken from their lands. I'm sure at some point, if you go back in my ancestry, there must have been some ancestors who had to fight. But let me tell you, when I look at my behavioral temperament inside, whatever has made it in terms of genes to me, I can totally feel that my ancestors were not the ones with the spear. They would try everything they could to avoid the spear. And people will say, oh, that's cowardice, that's the French, they run away. It's like, yeah, but I don't consider this cowardice. I consider this intelligent living, intelligent surviving. To me, it's absolutely ridiculous to get in fights. I had the reaction in my life many times to just drive away, to get to whatever safe place I could get instead of engaging in the fight. Now, that led me extremely far because society is a fucking mess. I had to go very, very far before I would find this place.
Back up, now!
But look at her. She has the genes that tell her, no, go at the center of the city. Go help people. What did that lead to? So when I see this, I'm like, yeah, my way of living is the right way. If you can afford it, if you have the luxury of it, don't go in downtown trying to save people. What the fuck? All right. Nicholas Petrus says, amen. Amen. Return to chimp says return. To chimp is the only way. Okay. We had a series of bannings happening at COSY. And there was a warning on this. I remember a couple of months ago, I had covered a news item. COSY had sent a public letter to all of the people trying to foment drama into the COSY community. So COSY is this alternative streaming platform that was specially made for Nick Fuentes and his surroundings, and eventually grew by recruiting creators that added to the roster. But it always remained a mostly Nick Fuentes-driven platform. And COSY had written a letter to its creators saying, we will start punishing you if you engage in unnecessary drama in between the COSY community. Because it was becoming way too insular. It was like a creator of COSY talking shit about another creator of COSY, getting covered by another creator of COSY. And it was creating a very negative impression of the whole community. And being too insular, eventually you lose audiences. You don't really grow. And you only get the high emotional activation of the internal drama. It does attract views on the short term, but long term, it's not a sustainable model. So I think it was a great letter. I think it was great as a policy. But we now see that the hammer has fallen today. And it's following the banning of Ethan Ralph a couple of days ago, maybe yesterday, I don't remember. We had God Winson just banned from COSY. Aiden Projects has also now been banned from COSY, likely due to his recent anti-Fuentes tweets. I don't have a strong opinion on these bannings. From a creator perspective, I've always known that COSY being a private platform, it's a platform of arbitrariness, and whoever controls it, my understanding is that Nick Fuentes must have some big control over it. You are at the mercy of that person. Now, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not criticizing Nick Fuentes here. I think it is what it is, which is it's a private platform, so you're entirely in their hands. But when you start biting the hand that feeds you, don't be surprised that if they have such arbitrary power, they will wage it on you. So that's why, from a creator perspective, I've never went into any of these platforms. And I was offered some of these similar platforms, even from friends that I highly respect, people that I highly trust, that I don't think would veer against me in the future. But it's a no-no. To me, I want to stream on open platforms because there is a fairness of the market that happens on open platforms that don't happen on something like Cozy. Something like Cozy is really a parasitic hole economically, you know? It's everyone fighting for the audiences that are willing to click on a Cozy link, and that's a limited set of audiences. Not saying that a creator cannot make it on there. Nick Fuentes is much more successful on there than I am on Odyssey. But that's still an economic sector that I don't like. And I'll never create for a private platform if I have the choice to. Now, that's not to say that those bannings are abusive. I think that at some point when you end all an organization, there's all sorts of people who show up who just drain energy. And to me, I mean, you should see my management style. I mean, it's like, I'm like the Japanese ninja, just cutting heads. Useless, 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 deluded, liar, useless. I chop heads and I do it quick. So that's pretty much what Nick Fuentes has been doing, and arguably he's been doing it overly generously. Like, he waited that these people were just annoying him and making him look bad, and he gave chances to the Killstream and Ethan Ralph to an extent that I would never have done. I'm such a radical. There's no loss of Papa JF time. You have committed a wrong. You have lost my time. A single bad interaction suffices for me to totally eliminate you from my head and from anything I control. But Nick Fuentes, probably being a soft bear, you know, probably wanted to give a lot of chances, and that's what happened. So it was long, but we got to the point where it's happening now. It's all good. Chauvin takes George Floyd murder conviction appeal to U.S. Supreme Court. Attorneys representing former Minneapolis officer Derek Chauvin plan to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to review his second-degree murder charge in the death of George Floyd. It's bizarre what happened with this trial and this man. Because it's like, it's almost like society has accepted that he was a needed sacrifice. And the show trial that we've seen was kind of ridiculous in terms of how one-sided it was, how the experts were totally coming to play the game of the prosecution. And so I don't know if he has a shot. Because the Supreme Court, unfortunately, probably doesn't want to get on anything racial, especially if it's just going to save a single man. They will want to get on the racial subjects when it's about discrimination and high-level abstract stuff. But to save this guy, they probably wouldn't want to pay the political price of it. And that really sucks, because we had a trial where basically bureaucrats have waged war in a bureaucrat way. Like, we're talking about, there's the state of reality. The state of reality is there were drugs in George Floyd's system. There were drug pills on the bench of the police car as George Floyd was trying to chew some of the drugs that he had when getting arrested. And so the one question to ask is, was Derek Chauvin knee to the shoulder, basically, mostly, was Derek Chauvin's knee something that he should have known was a direct way to kill or likely to result in the death of George Floyd? Or is it the case that an irresponsible drug user with heart problems has been extremely irresponsible? That is the question that the jury should have asked. And instead, we had a kind of pornographic display of science, of respiration, and, oh my God, here's what you're looking at. He's having difficulty breathing. And, oh yeah, he's making this little move with his hand. That means he's incapable of breathing on his own. But at no point was it clear to me that the knee had a causal effect on an injury of George Floyd that would have led to his death. And I don't think that the jury was presented the right question here. Now, the problem is everything I've just said is an intelligent analysis of the situation, but it's not necessarily a legally actionable in appeals court case. And legally actionable in appeals court is whether there was errors. And some of the errors we hear about is that the jury wasn't properly informed of the pills chewed onto the bench of the police car. Perhaps the fact that they were not informed of this could constitute a good basis. Silver Spider says, yes, because it was a white knee and a black shoulder, so it's super effective. Yeah, definitely, that's what you would conclude based on how current society handles these cases. Chuck Garrity says, why would Chauvin knowingly on camera kill a man? It was an approved method of restraint by the police. Yeah, it's unjust what has been happening, and clearly we have here society that was needing to clear its conscience. And they dropped Derek Chauvin under the bus. That really sucks. There is a new trend on streaming. Okay, before I show you how it's done, I will try to act it out because I think there's a potential business for JFG Tonight in this new area of streaming. So I'll tell you guys how it works and you're going to have to participate, okay? I will be acting in a kind of cartoonish way, and you guys are going to type stuff on the regular chat that I will have to read. Like, you can type ice cream, you can try banana, and I'm gonna have to act like I'm eating banana and I'm eating ice cream. So give me gifts. Also, okay, it started already. So they make this movement. Joel Surratt Music says coconut. Ice cream, gang gang, doggy, penis, pamplemousse, hot dog, autistic comedy hour, whiskey, banana, rodeo, yes, 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 cake, two tabs of LSD, TRP. Watermelon, mice, cat, fire, shady Jesus. Start tipping, guys. Ding dong. Holy shit. My head is turning, actually. Holy shit. It's not healthy to do this with your head. What? Yum times 20. Wow, wow, wow. These girls are doing this all day. I mean, it is bodily demanding, I have to say.
Thank you. Noria, thank you for the finger heart. Love you. Ryan, thank you for the taco. Rannon, thank you for the rose. Smells so good. Autumn, thank you for the rose. Smells so good. Oh, Sagittarius, ride him like a cowgirl. Thank you. Oh, you? Noria, thank you for the finger heart. Love you. Ryan, thank you for the taco. Rannon, thank you for the rose. Smells so good. Autumn, thank you.
And it's not like a unique thing. Apparently, it's a whole trend. Here's I had another example somewhere. Okay, there it is. There it is. This is just worrying. I mean, I got 56 seconds of these girls.
It's my birthday. Tick tock. I got the soccer ball. Ice cream. Ice cream. Ooh, hot, that burns. Ooh, hot, that burns. Rose. I got the ball. I got the ball. Rose. Whoa. Rose. A rose.
Ladies and gentlemen, the liberation of women. They are now on the free market, and the free market brings them where nature will.
Meow.
So that's a lightning. She's receiving 25 lightning shocks. Holy shit. I can't believe this is a thing.
I'll cool you down. Hot. It's my birthday. Tick tock. I got the soccer ball. Ice cream.
With the background beat, the poor background girl, is she sometimes speaking or is she doing this all stream? Because let me tell you, I've just done 1 minute of it. If I'm doing like this girl for an hour, I'm losing consciousness, guaranteed. We have super chats coming. Balloon Nut says, funny thing is that women don't even know what NPCs are because they don't play video games. They are just NPCs in real life. Also, the jokes on them, we can talk about NPCs and they never really quite get what we're talking about. Return to Shimp says, we're screwed. He gives $5. Thank you so much for your generous help. Well, somehow me bringing this new trend to my stream has resulted in more super chat in the last 10 minutes than I've had the rest of the week. This is my most productive super chat moment. So, nod. LMAO. Shamrock Shake. Each electric shock is like 2 cents. Balloon Nut says, oh no, another coconut. Pow! Ow! Ah! Ah! Ah, cheeseburger. Balloon Nut says, here's your tip, JF, buy a car. Thanks for the tip, but I have my car. I'm doing good. My car. I've bought it recently. It's been doing well. The Mirage. I'm super happy with my Mitsubishi Mirage. I hope that it will last 10, 15 years. I don't like buying cars. I want to minimize the amount of cars I'm buying. So I'm buying new cars, the cheapest possible. That will get me from A to B. I don't need them very much. Big Tech Exodus says, is this going to become a regular part of the program? At the current rate, $16 within 10 minutes, I might have to do this full time, my friend. Zero Edge says, AMC Entertainment surges 100% after court rejects ape deal. So that is so bizarre. I had not heard about this story. The ape lawsuit So AMC was hit with a new investor lawsuit. It's been rejected now. The APE deal. APE means here, it has a specific meaning. Preferred equity units. So apparently it's a strategy that seems that AMC tried to get this mimetic attention because they developed a whole preferred equity unit called APEs, and to have called it the APE term is quite fascinating to me, that a corporation would go so hard into the mimetic promotion of its own stock. But now they are converting the APE stock. They had called this part of their stock base APEs. And that's probably what led to the whole rise of the price of AMC. Now, some guy is suing them because he's saying now they're converting the APEs into regular stock. So that they have lost their preferential status. And the judge has thrown it. He says that's legal. Well, so it is. Alan Martin says, when someone you dearly love is taken from you, everything becomes an anniversary. Today is one of those days. 1 year since she received the Pfizer FN-2908 vaccine. 1 year ago today, it started attacking her body and killing her from inside. I didn't know she had gotten the vaccine. I spent a lot of time wondering if I could have saved her somehow and loathing myself for not making the most of the time I had left with my beautiful little girl. I miss you so much, Trista. I'll never stop fighting the evil that did this. Look at this beautiful young lady, lost, according to her father, to the vaccine. That is really sad. Woe the humanity. How AI fits into broadly rising anti-humanism. That is interesting to see this whole AI excitement. Rather than see it as transhumanism, see it as anti-humanism. And that's what we've seen when I was debating these people on transhumanism. They are ultimately anti-human. And Alex Jones is absolutely right on this. Like, it is the problem. They are anti-human, and ultimately there will be a war that I've announced, it's coming. There will be a war between humans and anti-humans on planet Earth, and it could last 5 years or it could last a million years. I have no clue, but it's coming. The Barbie movie was applauded as a feminist epic while depicting men as bumbling villains. Oh my God, I am so pissed. I was fully hoping that we'd get something totally heterosexual with precisely no feminist moral annoyance. And yet, according to the stellar reviews, it seems that we are into the extremely far-left feminist movie. I will be so disappointed when I watch it. The Verge says, bold vision built around the idea of deconstructing some of the more complex realities of what Barbie represents in order to tell a truly modern feminist story. Once an equal parts fascinating and controversial metal toy, both loved and hate, a tiny, wasted, vacuously smiling, slender doll designed like a straight male fantasy, is now a complicated feminist symbol of empowerment. Ah, fuck! As Barbie makes her way into the real world, she must grapple with the overwhelming emotion and discomfort of being human, as well as a patriarchal system that would make her a secondary character in her own world. Rest in peace, Barbie, says Stephen Robinson. Oh my God, they didn't ruin Barbie on top of it. There is no question. Barbie is about having a single romantic relationship with Ken. That is all we need her to do. Joel Surrett says, Margot Robbie, still a 20 out of 10, though. Yeah, I'm sure she's going to be extremely beautiful. That should ease the feminism, I guess. Balloon Nut sends $5. He says, you did this to yourself, Jeff. Oppenheimer is also a white guilt opera. Stop enjoying things. Well, I had high hopes that this year will give us at least one absolutely great movie. Because there's The Creator, about AI war with humanity. There's Barbie, about female heterosexuality. And then there's Oppenheimer, which, you know, Christopher Nolan is always good. Now, some people, they share my fear that with this historical work, he's going to be less good. We'll see what happens, but I will be totally blackpilled if the three of these movies suck. Okay, I would. That's where I take the final black pill in my life. I will never be white-pilled again if these three movies suck this year. Blanket says, Jeff, have you watched any good movies this year? I can't say that I've watched good movies this year. I'm rewatching the Sarah Connor's Chronicle right now because there's nothing good coming out. Vast majority of Americans say illegal immigration is either a crisis or a major problem. That is so fascinating to me because we've won the arguments that we've been making. And yet no one acts like we won. It's things go as usual. But we have a majority support for views that we've been defending for years in debates, where the leftists are trying to make us look or they are trying to talk as if those were not regular views and they're bigoted views of minorities, when in fact no, it's the majority view. The things we were fighting for in debates and the TPS episodes I've been producing with the goal of awakening people to the reality of immigration being a bad problem, a problem in our current society that is headed toward absolute crashing of our society, is a majority opinion. The persuasion phase has been won, and yet the system keeps going like it usually does. The politics have not changed. The immigration programs have not significantly slowed down. Biden is there, not particularly combating the illegal part of immigration either. So it's like, okay, we have won hearts and mind, but even then, things don't change. Then Simone says, yeah, I watched Come In and Conquer again last week. Great movie, in my opinion. They made a movie about Come In and Conquer, the computer game. I'm interested, or is it unrelated? I'm interested if it's related to the computer game, because the computer game had such massively innovative cinematics for its time. Holy shit. I mean, I played on the stream where I played some emulation games. I played that game, and holy shit, the movies are fucking awesome. Someone was saying, how about we take the cities back? Running away is kind of a bitch move, to be honest. And I was like, no, people are fucking delusional. You're not going to take the cities back. Lol. There's no taking the cities back. The cities can't even save themselves. They are stuck in a loop of welfare, dependence on the state, and ever-increasing corporate weight until nothing is viable there. You're not going to go and with similarly like-minded individuals take back the cities. The cities are the highest concentration of the hellhole we live in. Threads implosion worsens as user engagement drops at 70%, I love following this number because there was a major drop that I've covered before in daily active users, but it's going down and down, and every one of these points is providing infinite happiness to me. Threads, because I have been so early on this platform when it came out a week or two ago, and I was seeing all these NPCs like, oh my god, this is so much better here. I knew that this is all fake. I knew that what speaks is not your words, it's your actions. And your actions are telling me it sucks here. Your words are telling me it's great here. And I love when the NPCs are stuck in their contradiction between their words and their actions. They wanted to create an impression that, oh, it's great, Threads is so much better than Twitter. No, it is not. It doesn't come close. The quality of the content sucks. And anyways, the chilling effect of censorship there puts you in a state where it can never improve. Because anyone who's trying to push the envelope on maybe we can talk a little bit about politics, they're all being targeted by the AIs. And they are being banned. And so they don't want to test the boundary. So they self-censor. And now you end up having a really crappy social media where people can't even express what they think about. Test sends $5. Thank you so much for the support tonight, guys. You have been extremely generous. He says, Ruby Ridge disproves Inna Woods' theory. Okay, so Ruby Ridge being this case of, like, I don't want to mess the info here, but some federal government intervention onto someone who wanted to be left alone, and the killing and destruction of this person and their property, I guess. Okay. So that's the, because I'm mixed up with, is it Waco, Texas is a different story, right? Ruby Ridge is a similar story to Waco, Texas of federal government kind of taking over someone's property. And you are saying it destroys Inna Woods' theory, which is my theory that you just need to flee society. You're telling me that they will eventually come to you. They will, but it will take more time. And by the time they will, I will move again. I mean, it's Ruby Ridge doesn't destroy my theory. My theory is if you perceive an attack coming, flee and live further where no attack is coming. And then restart and redo and redo. I've done it many times in my life. So I'm sure that my descendants will have to do it too. And you said they will send drone swarms. The problem is the problem with people who say they will always get to you is you don't realize the system is very inefficient. And at some point they just get tired of oppressing you. Like at some point they're like, okay, well, he's gone far away enough. He doesn't seem to have done anything illegal. Like, what else can we do? And that is where happiness can be found. That is the basis of my Woods strategy. Yesterday in Hebron, a Palestinian family were peacefully celebrating their daughter's high school exam result until the Israeli occupation forces decided to steal their joy by invading their house and kidnapping four. That is what it looks like when a government gets into the business of interfering with family. And it's happening in Israel against Muslim populations, Palestinians here with soldiers, but very similar things are happening in Western civilization with social workers and police coming to take people's children, child protective services organized with females, organized sometimes with hospitals, to do the exact same thing. So that is a big problem, a big unaddressed problem of society. The attack of the state on the heterosexual reproduction cycle. Stick Sexton Hammer says, urban civilization is dying. Get back to the land. That was the interaction that initiated my comments on leaving the city and the fact that it's impossible to win the fight against cities. Dead Star says, has JF ever done an alien movie review? I have reviewed Prometheus, the Prometheus series. I have reviewed it. I'm not super satisfied by it. I'm not totally satisfied by it. I have my theories and it's been making me think. But I don't think there's very good alien movies. I don't think the perfect alien movies has been made yet. Blanket says, JF, is there any chance on fixing places like Australia? It's getting very bad there. Australia in general, no. But there are certainly places, because Australia is big enough, there are certainly places where you can be left alone. I know, because some of the best fans of this show are in Australia. Somehow I gathered a big audience in Australia, bigger than your worldly representation. And they are telling me, you know, it's terrible at the federal level, but you can find peace in Australia by escaping the normiplex. Stick Sexton Hammer with a strong positioning on capers. Capers are just pickled rock salt. Change my mind. I've asked myself this again and again in the face of capers. This vegetable worries me. It disrupts my functioning. I look at capers, I eat them. You know, you put them very often. It is in the classical recipe of a salmon sandwich with Philadelphia cheese on a bagel. There are always capers there. And I'm wondering, to what extent is the caper contributing caper taste? Or is everything that I'm tasting here just the vinegar in which they live and the salt that's been added to them? Eric says they are flower buds. Yeah, I mean, they are, I guess, the flower that would become a fruit. yeah, very weird. And then there's these large capers. I've been introduced to this more recently in my life. There's always the small capers, and then there's the large ones. Dan Simon says, Australians were the baddies. Look at what those criminals and debtors made out of that island. Well, we've discussed about this, and people are challenging this view in the chat. People have been telling me, no, JF, it wasn't just criminals. Russian Navy rehearses blow, because they were telling me that, yes, there were these debtor prisons. And so they were not necessarily violent criminals. They were just people who got fucked by bad deals on their mortgage and whatever. Russian Navy rehearses blowing up Ukrainian ships after the grain deal collapse. In the most significant threat escalation thus far, following the Monday expiration and collapse of the UN-backed Black Sea Grain Initiative, Russia announced Friday that its forces are conducting live fire exercises in the region of Black Sea shipping routes let me tell you, with the announcement of the abandonment of the deal, with the preparation that we've seen militarily, I wouldn't play in the Black Sea if I was Ukraine. It seems that Russia is intent on bombarding anything that they see. They said that they would assume any shipment toward Odessa as being a shipment of military materials. People were talking about Australia. Well, it turns out we have a news about Australia. A tourist bitten by a spider in Australia could need all limbs amputated. My God, you guys have some crazy spiders there. I don't know. Ukrainian Humvee gets hit by an ATGM in the Zaporizhia direction. So look at this Ukrainian vehicle that we're in. And you're going to see a rocket coming halfway through the video, completely blowing up the very Jeep or Humvee that they are in. Wow, wow, wow. The reality of war is tough. That was a precise shot. Sound of Freedom is holding strong even during the first week of Mission Impossible. Unbelievable. That is quite fascinating because people are, they are in this kind of movement of resistance where they say, we have to make Sound of Freedom successful. Because Sound of Freedom was kind of rejected by the elite, you know, they kind of don't like it. They feel that it's a MAGA pedophile critique. But look at this, it's making equal to Mission Impossible on Mission Impossible's first week. This is where making a cheap Christian movie in America is still, you know, the same way they did God is Not Dead and God is Not Dead Too. Those are things that Christians just want to throw their money at. And yes, Indiana Jones is 1.5 million, well below. It's just the reality. You don't have to invest that much in the visual effects and doing something massively visually spectacular if you're going ideological. And if you're going ideological, there will be a bunch of Christians who will say, we want, this needs to work. It needs to receive money, and they're going to throw their money at it. Landolt Guntram says there is a whole parallel infrastructure in place to achieve this goal, JF. Bannon is working overtime. You're talking about achieving the success of Sound of Freedom? Well, yeah, I mean, Sound of Freedom is kind of like the Budweiser boycott in a way. You know, it's a specific segment of the population that may overlap with my crowd. You know, it's a right-wing MAGA type of people, although I'm not completely in the whole Pizzagate, Sound of Freedom crowd, okay? I'm not like thinking about child abuse on an everyday, and I'm not posting on Twitter about, oh my God, child trafficking. But there are a lot of people who are strongly into this. I'm much more worried about how the children that don't get trafficked are getting their lives destroyed by leftist civilization, let me tell you. But I know it's a subject out there, and I'm sympathetic to it. Of course, who's sympathetic to human trafficking? So I'm super happy that they are successful at pumping up this societal event. Massive floods due to heavy rains at Siwana in Barmer of Rajasthan, India. Oh my God. Look at this cow. Well, well, well. How does that happen? I don't know. How does that happen that you get these flash floods? There must, you must be at relief levels that are not intelligent, like societally. You have to understand the elements. You have to understand the levels of water, the mountains, the structures, and you have to build around this. If society just populates areas that are low and that will receive a lot of water when it comes, that's dangerous. Speaker's Corner says deforestation. Oh yeah, perhaps they built at places that were fine, but then they chop the forest or they make some change to the environment and suddenly the place isn't safe anymore. Aquanaut says, total lack of engineering when it comes to dams. That's how, JF. Okay, yeah, there's probably an issue of properly intervening on nature and properly managing nature. Bud Light's popularity at bars and restaurants is almost non-existent. Bud Light's fall from number one was swift following the marketing controversy that spurred a nationwide boycott. Sales of what was once America's best-selling beer dropped 2.6 points from 11.3% dollar sales share to 8.73% at Union's network of thousands of high-volume venues in the first week of the boycott alone, and it continued to spiral, dropping 34% in sales since the fallout began on April 1st. Get woke, go broke, says DK Shadow. That is an interesting thought here. It's been easier to convince people to hand over half of their income, their children to war, and their freedoms in perpetuity than to engage them in seriously considering how roads might function in the absence of taxation. That is often what I feel when I do arguments as a libertarian, and people, they think it's this big gotcha, like, JF, what about the roads? You don't even have a solution for roads. It's like, well, let's sit down here and let's talk about it. Because it seems that we have pretty efficient solutions that are private in nature for fast foods. It seems that there are ways you can bring food to the people with the private sector. It seems that you have ways you can bring a postal service that people share. In the private sector, UPS, FedEx. It seems that the private, trains, railroads, they have been established by private entities. So I'm sure we could figure out some way where we get together, we contribute to a fund. Some people might not want to contribute to it. They don't get to use the road. I'm sure there would be a private solution to just laying out asphalt, and roll over it and flatten it. I'm sure someone would do that at a certain contract price. And that's just what we need to organize. Blanket says, JF, have you ever watched the movie Crocodile Dundee? This movie could never be made today. It's about an amazing movie about... It's an amazing movie about an Australian man who comes to America. Yes, I remember seeing that movie when I was young. It's been, I've not been seeing this for certainly two decades at least. Do I want to rewatch it? I remember just the blurriness of the video back then. And I'm not sure I can handle it. I'm not sure I want to watch it. But yeah, I remember it was this whole Australian with an attitude, that, you know, there are classics that have emerged from the movie that I'll remember forever. Like, that's not a knife. This is a knife. Stress Channel, exactly. Something tells me it's probably very cringe if I was to rewatch it. But I love the idea of a super male attitude. It's kind of the toxic male, if you will, that feminists want to eliminate from society. The whole idea that displaying strength and displaying a kind of lack of fitness with the advanced feminist leftist world, that annoys leftists. And you may be right. It could be seen today as a kind of toxic masculinity pushing. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, did you see the short clip I sent on NASA's mission to bring rock samples back to Earth? So many points of potential failure. Okay, let's have a look. I'm not sure. Mars sample return, bringing Mars rock samples back to Earth. The handoff. Oh, boy. We're talking about a rocket, like a... nothing else than just a rocket. It's not really a vessel coming back. Oh boy, oh boy. Yeah, I don't know how you get exactly that jump right here. Look at before the rocket starts powering. How do you get this? Who did this throw? Did they load up a spring to get it to do that? Okay, air canisters, says John Drake. Ah, clever. Wait, I missed something here. So there's a satellite just hanging out around Mars. Okay, so I thought that the rocket was coming back to Earth. I was like, good luck, bro. Okay, so the rocket is merely bringing it back to the rotating satellite, the orbiting satellite around Mars. Or is it? Did I misunderstand something here? Oh, okay, that's still the rocket. So the rocket detaches from it. So there's no satellite yet. Okay, so that's the rocket detaching from its first stage. Oh boy. A can of Diet Pepsi. Carrying the most important thing in the world. Oh, there it is. So that would be the satellite entry moment. So there's a satellite. Oh my God, what are these? What is powering this? They are developing plans for one of the most ambitious campaigns ever attempted in space, bringing the first samples of Mars material safely back to Earth for detailed study. The diverse set of scientifically curated samples now being collected by NASA's Mars Perseverance rover could help scientists answer the question of whether ancient life ever arose on the planet. Well, well, well. Yeah, it's a bet mission, but at the same time, it is done with minimalistic weights and cost. So it's probably the most efficient way. The question is, can we make this transport worth it at all? Like, will we ever want to transport small samples like this? They've reduced pretty much everything to its minimum. We're talking about a rocket, just making it from Mars with just the samples, nothing else in it. Defenestrator says this is how Mars bars are made. That is not true. That is not correct information. Fake news. Dead Star says the Tour de France is not creepy. It's a beautiful exposition of life in the European countryside. Flag-waving patriots line the roads through the farms and wilderness, cheering on a 100-year-old tradition, demanding of superhuman bravery and wit. I guess it's one way to look at sports. I'm not super fascinated at it. Pearl Davis has come out with a song. She asks not to be banned by the censors of this world. She hopes that she is not banned.
Why can't we talk about them without getting kicked off of YouTube?
It's a beautiful song. I will say very creative in terms of harmonics. A good play on many rhymes. Good writing. It tells the story of a girl who gets censored on YouTube, and this censoring leads her to start believing in conspiracy theories because she's like, oh my God. When you do talk about this subject, this thing happens. Interesting. And I would say she has a kind of Martha Wainwright quality to her singing. This kind of broken female voice who smoked too much cigarettes. And I kind of love it. It's a thing with me. I don't know. It's kind of, okay, this woman has seen so much dick. I respect the accomplishment, you know. I respect the throat wearing that has been happening here. Social media is too much for most of us to handle. I know because I let it all flood in and it was damaging to my mental health, says this person. I formed a hypothesis in 2008. Everyone has something to teach you. So the more connected you are, the more you should be able to learn. I decided to make myself the test subject by following as many people as I could on Twitter. What could possibly go wrong? Okay, well, if you misuse Twitter, of course, it's going to be damaging to your mental health. Personally, Twitter changed my life. Social media changed my life. It gave me another path that I could take to make a living. I find it amazing. I will always be super thankful and grateful to this world of the internet, which has given me another option than to go through the usual routes. And it wasn't long before it became very clear to me that there was a good living to be made on here. ESG is dying, its inevitable death. ESG scoring and mandates remain a subject we have contested since it sprang to life in 2020. The push of woke activism on and by companies to meet nebulous or artificial standards has led to various bad outcomes. These are all the things not on a company's balance sheet or earnings, such as the inherent problem. Yeah, it seems that it's pretty arbitrary. They will take you at some point in time, and it's like, it really doesn't matter if for your entire history you've been ruining the whole world. You just have to show, oh yeah, we're concerned about this, and we're making big efforts about this and that, and we're giving that much money to black people. And it sucks. It really sucks. Max Carson says, he writes a kind of poetic writing about woman. There is no good time to be a woman. A woman at best coincides. She pantomimes synchronicity with the atomic clock of male desire. Every second counts. If you are fast, you're a slut. If you are slow, a prude. And one day, a hag. We lick our lips when you are too young and sneer when you are too old. For some years in your 20s, you are both. Your period is, okay, well, it's a little bit over dramatic. But I like the idea of thinking about time and thinking about time limits in life. So that is it for tonight, boys. Thank you very much for being here. If you want to watch the private show, it happened yesterday and it is still live. If you want the link, you can join the Patreon, the Subscribestar at the $20 level. We discussed the biology stuff with Fadam. We discussed the state of females with our new contributor who joined us. And there was James also. A very good private hangouts. The private hangouts are always fascinating to me. That is it for tonight. Much love. Joel Surrett says, fucking awesome episode, Jeff. Fucking awesome. Cheeseburger. Coconut. Ice cream. Thank you.